Good morning, and welcome to Sunday School. Today I will be General George Washington as we celebrate our 250th anniversary, freedom. This is not a patriotic meeting. This is not a USA meeting. This is a privilege for me, Don Makowicz from the Richmond, Michigan Assembly, to come as General George Washington, Commander-in-Chief. Instead of attending parades, instead of being at a celebration, I want to be with you for Sunday School. Let's begin with number 34. Just the first verse. Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Just the first verse. Thank you. All right, boys and girls, if you have a favorite, you can raise your hand. Most of these songs were not written back in the 1700s, so it's a good opportunity for me to learn some of your songs this morning. Yes? 39. What a friend we have in Jesus. Number 21. Such a good song.
Decide for Christ today.
Sing the next song, I just want to let you know how much I am enjoying this singing. Back in the 1700s, church was not like this. This sounds so good. And I've also been enjoying the fact, thinking about the fact that we have the freedom to sing and to have a Bible meeting like this. I was listening to Mr. Dean over here talk about how in Ukraine, they can't do that. He was talking about in China, you have to be 18 years or older, is that right?
Legal.
So the freedom that we have, don't take it for granted. Yes?
31.
We'll sing three more. We'll just sing the first verse of each of the songs. Number 31.
I will sing
Sing, oh sing.
26.
There is life in the Lord at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. And look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. Unto
yes, last one. Number 35.
Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. From condemnation He has made me free.
Really enjoy the singing. It sounded so good. So the Bible was around when I was your age. I tried to read it every day. Also made sure that I prayed. I understand that you've learned a verse from this precious book. Is that right? Now, if you were back in the 1700s, I would probably be giving you beef jerky. But I don't have beef jerky for everyone, so I have, they're called dum-dums, we're going to call them smart smarts. People in my army and people in the Lord's army should not be dumb. Okay. Start with Caleb. Thank you. I got to learn the technology too. I'm used to coming to a conference. Well, actually, I won't say that. I was going to say I'm used to a conference when there was no internet, but we didn't have internet back in the 1700s.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Excellent. After you say the verse, you can go get a sucker.
Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Very, very good. Who else?
Except a man of...
Be born again.
Be born again, and... He cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Excellent.
John 3:3. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Well done. Remember, after you say it, you can get yourself a treat.
Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Except a man be born again, he will not... And you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Outstanding.
Except a man be born again, he cannot. No. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Amazing.
Except a man who is born again shall and is not be able to. He does not be able to go to heaven.
Very good. Well done. You can get yourself a treat.
Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Incredible. Future preacher.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Good. You'd make a good soldier of the cross.
Except a man be born again, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Yes, excellent. I haven't forgot about the girls. I'll make sure we get over there too.
Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Amazing.
Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Bernie, I agree with you. Standing up here and seeing the young ones here and hearing them say the scriptures, this is marvelous.
Except a man be born again, and okay. He cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Very good.
Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Very, very good.
Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Very good. Anyone else?
John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Incredible. And I'm going to do just a couple more. And if I don't get to you, you can get a sucker afterwards and you can say the verse to your parents. Except a man.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
John 3. Super.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Very good.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
You guys did such a good job. And let me encourage you each day to read your Bible. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. So it is important that every single day you are reading it or someone is reading it to you so that you can hear it. This will be the last one for now.
If the sun shall make you free, you should be free.
Oh, excellent job. Thank you for quoting that one. That was a good verse about freedom. You can get a treat too. So boys and girls, I was born a long time ago, February 22, 1732. So at one time, I was your age. I had a younger brother, and I had three younger sisters. My mom's name was Mary, and my dad's name was Gus, and I also had an older half-brother. So I grew up in a time where things were a lot different. Back then, we were living in what are called colonies. Colonies are not countries. Okay. But my parents read the scriptures to me. They prayed with me. I was able to go to church. The songs were different then. As I was growing up, I was a little bit taller than the rest of the boys my age, and I grew to be 6'2". Normal otherwise, except my teeth were not as nice as everybody else's, and that's something that I had to live with the rest of my life. At 20, I joined the militia, and I came here to Ohio many times, the Ohio River Valley area. At that time, I was with the British, and we would build forts, and we would fight against the French. And eventually that war ended. I went back home to Virginia. But you know, freedom that we enjoy in this country, some of our rights were starting to be taken away by the King of England, King George III. And in 1753, he passed the Proclamation Act, which forbid us from extending our settlements westward. Shortly after that, there was what was called the Stamp Act, which meant that we had to start paying taxes on official documents. That riled us up. Later, they started taxing our tea, and we liked our tea back then. Back then, the water was often not safe to drink. Not like it is here at Carrollton Conference, where you can turn on the faucet and get some water. So we would often boil the water, make it nice and hot, and get rid of the germs, and we would drink our tea. And we liked our tea, but they knew that that was a source of revenue money for them, and so they started taxing it, and we didn't like it. I personally didn't like paying the taxes, so I switched to coffee. If I had known better, I should have started Starbucks, and then we could have made a lot of bucks for our family and for our inheritance. But in 1775, the Second Continental Congress asked that I would be the leader of the Continental Army. What was at stake was our freedom. This morning I want to talk to you in the next 21 minutes about three battles. The first one, and I'm lumping it together, was a war that we fought approximately 8 years so that our children and grandchildren, and looking down 250 years, the ones sitting in this room, you could have freedom. We would not live under the rule of tyranny. That you would have freedom to take this precious word of God, the Bible, and be able to open it and read it without fear of harassment. It wasn't easy. I was given a group of men who didn't have much resources. When we would go off to fight, my men often didn't have good clothes. They weren't trained. We didn't have good weapons. Some of my men didn't have shoes. We asked Congress for money. We tried to get money. But resources were slim. We were fighting up against the largest army in the world. They were well trained. They had more men. They had a better navy. And yet we believed in freedom. You remember hearing about a man named Thomas Jefferson? He and others, but he primarily wrote the Declaration of Independence. We talked about it, we adjusted words, and then we signed our names on that document. Do you know what that meant when we signed our names on that? Yes? We were free, but we were also, if captured, we were fit to be killed. Our life was on the line when we signed that document. But we believed in the freedom. Before I go on, I just want to let you know Thomas Jefferson, who was my friend, who wrote the Declaration of Independence, who later became the third president of the United States, who also started the University of Virginia, who during his presidency purchased approximately half the United States. He was what we would call a modern-day Solomon back then. All those accomplishments, he was the one who said, "I believe that all men are created equal." I need to let you guys know this. He did not know the Lord Jesus as a Savior. You will not see him in heaven. Even though he wrote such an amazing document, one that we hold in high regard, it's in Washington, D.C., if you want to go see it, he did not know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Boys and girls, the Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" He wrote such an amazing document. He was the president. He acquired lots of land for our country. He started a university. And yet, he didn't know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Do you know him as your Savior? Ben Franklin. He was another important man that I worked with. He does not, as far as I know, did not know the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Well, we fought many battles. We won some. I'm ashamed to say this, we lost more than we won. But in the end, we did win. And the Revolutionary War came to an end in 1781. We signed the peace treaty in 1783. And we enjoyed our freedom. That was our first battle. I want to speak to you of a second battle that took place. This one didn't take place on American soil. You probably know what it is. This is the battle for your freedom. This was a battle that didn't take place. We didn't have airplanes. We didn't have tanks. We didn't use warships in this battle. This was a battle that would take place on a cross. Does anyone know the story that I'm talking about? Caleb? That's right. God and Bernie gave the gospel yesterday, so quickly summarizing it, God created this world, and it was good. And sin came into this world. And down through the years, men and women, boys and girls were born, and there was not one single boy, one single girl who was born a perfect person. All were born in sin. All had a sinful nature. And God tested man, put him under law, and we still came short. So now we have a big problem. Every single person alive, a sinner. We needed someone who would come and fight the battle for us. Someone who could satisfy the claims of a holy and righteous God and do it so perfectly and do it perfectly so that every boy, every girl, every dad, every mom, every young person who would repent and put their faith and trust in him could have their sins forgiven. Who do you think would come and do such a thing? Yes. God was going to send his son. It says in Isaiah, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." And in Zechariah it says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against these nations as when he fought in the day of battle." Yes, it refers to the day of battle. In Psalm 24 it says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle," Psalm 24:8. So, he didn't come as a king. When Jesus was born, his mother was coming to Bethlehem, and there wasn't even room for them to stay in an inn. So he stayed out in the manger. He was born in a manger. And then he lived here on earth for 33 years. He did the Father's will perfectly. And then there was a day of battle. This was a battle that there would be no do-overs. It was one of one. There would be no second chance. It was not a best of three or a best of five. The Lord Jesus was going to go to Calvary's cross and be punished. And he did. And he went to Calvary's cross. And there on the cross, man's hatred toward him and God's wrath was put upon him. Satan's power was all displayed. And then the Lord Jesus died. And as we heard last night, after he died, a soldier came and thrust a spear in his side. Oh no. The Lord Jesus is now dead. But he was the one who said he was going to win. But he's dead. His body was taken off a cross. What would be the outcome? I'm reminded of another battle that took place in 1812. It was actually 1814. It was in October. There was a man named Francis who was on board a boat. He was in Baltimore. And there was a battle taking place at Fort McHenry. And it was a very heated battle. It started in the daytime and went into the nighttime. And of course, as you know, what happens when the sun goes down, it gets dark. But the bombs were flying. The ammunition was going. Prior to the sun going down, the American flag was flying above Fort McHenry. And most of the ones on board the ship went down to get some sleep, but this young man, Francis, was pacing, walking around. Would the flag still be flying? And throughout the night, he could hear the bombs bursting in air. He could see the red. But he didn't know, and he wouldn't know, would we have the fort? So very early in the morning, straining his eyes, gazing out, he looked. Would the American flag be flying or would the British flag be flying? And through the dawn's early light, he saw the American flag still flying. And he later wrote the Star Spangled Banner, which is now our song. That reminds me of Mary and the other ladies. Would the Lord Jesus be there Sunday morning? So they got up early, they had their spices, they went to the tomb, and what did they find? Yes. They found an angel and the stone was rolled away. What does that mean? Did somebody come and take him? Yes. He's alive. The one who went into battle, the one who went into death, rose victorious. Victorious. And now, the good news, boys and girls, is we can preach the gospel of a risen Savior, a victorious one. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Paul could say shortly afterwards, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." John could tell us in Revelation, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death." So if the first battle was the one for our freedom, which we all enjoy, whether we're from Canada, whether we're from the United States, Mexico, from Australia, from Colombia, from Somalia, wherever we are, the freedom that we have. And I want to talk briefly about a battle that's going on right now, I believe, in the hearts of some of the ones in this room. But before I talk about that battle, and I'm looking at the clock and I see I have 10 minutes, it's very important that we know that the one who won that battle is the Lord Jesus. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What does that mean? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the highest. Some people look at me as the president, and if you were to rank the presidents from George Washington all the way up to Donald Trump, list them as far as the top ones, you might be able to come up with something like the president of presidents. And probably on the short list, in addition to myself, George Washington, you'd probably have Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt. Yes, those are the same ones that are also on Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. But if you were to take them, you would have the president of presidents. Okay. King of kings. Think about this, boys and girls. If you were to take every king who has ever lived or is alive, or will be a king in the future, he is still number one. I think in 26, you guys refer to somebody at the top as the GOAT, right? Is that how you guys speak in 2026? The GOAT, the greatest of all time. But the Lord Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says in Revelation, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We sang last night at the hymn sing, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. So, in American history, we like to talk about presidents, but in the Bible, it's primarily kings. I mentioned that I went to church back in the 1700s. I mention that for a reason. Boys and girls, it's just going to be a privilege for me to be with you this morning to remember the Lord Jesus and his death. Did you know that what your parents talked to you about as the recovery of the truth had not happened when I was alive? So in the 1820s and 1830s, Dr. Cronin, George Bellett, John Nelson Darby, we had what was called the recovery of the truth. And in the scriptures, they realized that the Lord Jesus, the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wanted his followers, his believers, to do something. And Reggie talked about this last night. He wants you to remember him in his death. People may have made a great monument to me. In fact, they've made it so no building in Washington, D.C. can be taller than the monument. We have a special day, President's Day, in February. Put that aside. It's not about me. It's all about him. And if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he's asked you to remember him in his death. That's a memorial he wants you to partake in. Some people say it's a command. Some people say it's a request. Some people say it's a desire. I think there's enough room to include all of those thoughts. But I ask you, are you remembering the one who gave his life for you? Again, that was not taking place when I was around. So I'm thankful and excited that I can be here this morning to partake in that. Of course, we know that the enemy is busy after the recovery of the truth in the 1820s, 1830s. Mormonism is going to come on the scene. The Jehovah's Witnesses is going to take off. Christian Science is going to take off. The enemy is very busy in many false truths. I'm not going to say truths. False religions are going to spring up. So, are you remembering the Lord Jesus? Is that something that you're doing? That's what he's asked you to do. I have one final part I want to talk to you about this morning as we wrap this up. We have our battle for the freedom for our country, the battle that took place on Calvary's cross, and now the battle that is going on in your soul. Can everyone look at me? I am concerned that there are ones in this room who are going to go back to their homes and say, I had a really nice time at the conference. I enjoyed the meetings, going out on the canoes and paddle boats, swimming, being with the young people. That was a lot of fun. And I hope that you can say that. I can say that too. Amazing conference. Let's give a quick round of applause to all the local ones here for hosting it. I believe there's a battle that's going on in some of your hearts right now. And you know who you are. You know who you are. Nicodemus, I like the story so much. He came to Jesus by night. I've had many talks with men around the campfire, sharing their frustrations, their longings with me. Nicodemus, he came to Jesus, wanted to have a conversation with him at nighttime. Whether he was working and came at nighttime or whether he was afraid, I'm not sure, but he came to Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you need to make a decision today. During the Revolutionary War, we had approximately of a colonist, one-third were on the side of the Patriots. Approximately one-third were on the side of the King George III. They were loyalist. And approximately one-third were what we call neutral. And that's certainly understandable for a war, because nobody likes war. But when it comes to your soul, there is no middle ground. You either know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, or you don't. That voice that you hear, that tug that you feel right now, listen to it. Did you know that if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, It says in Philippians 3:18, it refers to you as the enemy of the cross of Christ. Someone who does not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, has not yet made that decision, is an enemy of the cross of Christ. In contrast, or in opposite, someone who knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior, it says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, which side are you on? There's no middle. You either are or you're not. And the Lord Jesus, the captain, he knows them that are his. You can fool me, but you cannot fool him. And he wants you on his side. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, did you know that you are on the losing side? Do you want to stay on the losing side? Or would you like to switch over to the winning side? If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, do you know that your leader is a liar, is a thief, and is a murderer, to keep it short? That is the person you are following. In contrast, those who accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior, their leader is the way, the truth, and the life. If you stay on the side of being lost and in your sins, you will end up with your leader in the lake of fire. In contrast, when you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you now have him as your leader, and your final destination will be in heaven. It is so important, boys and girls, that today we make that decision. When the Declaration of Independence was signed on July 4th, it was read a few days later in Philadelphia. There was singing, the soldiers participated in a parade, and the Liberty Bell was rung. Did you know that there was no rejoicing in heaven over all those events? But I can tell you with assurance that when someone accepts the Lord Jesus as their Savior, there is joy in heaven. So right now there's a tension going on. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, would you just pray right now? You've heard the gospel very, very clearly the last 3 days. The gospel meetings, in the meetings here, on the porch, Mr. Dave was talking to you yesterday. We need to leave this conference making a decision. You guys have heard me say the devil has two clocks. One clock says, later. Do it tomorrow. Do it next week. Do it next year. The other clock says, it's too late. You've blown it. God's time is now. I'm going to give ourselves about 30 seconds before we close in prayer. I want you to bow your head if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I want you to join the winning side. I want you to, right now, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. He's the one who loves you. He's the one who died for you. He was the one who was punished for your sins. He's the one whose precious blood was shed for you. He's the one who rose again. He's the one who's in heaven. He's the one who has the keys. And he is the one who wants to be your Savior and leader. Bow your head right now. And if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, let's do that right now.